evening in December, we'll watch the falling snow and hold each other close. I'm so glad we're here together for an evening to remember on this night, on this December.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the church service today. This is our first week of Advent, and we're glad that you are here with us. Just some announcements real quick for you. We want you to, if you're here, type a comment. Let us know that you're worshiping with us this morning. And then also we want to just tell you that if you are not if you're not on our email and text message distribution list, then you can join that by texting your name and your email address to the number that's on the screen, and we will add you to that list. This is the first week of Advent. It's the beginning of the Christmas season, looking forward to the time of Christ. And so we welcome you here this week, even though this is our last week to be online. We were thankful that we had a good Thanksgiving, and we're thankful that so many of our members are now over COVID, and we're just looking forward to being able to worship together. So if you'll join me in prayer. Father, we thank you that you, God, are a gracious God that has watched over our members during this time of COVID. Thank you, God, that you've given us wisdom to develop such technologies that allow us to gather together even when we are apart from one another. And Father, we just pray that God, you'll heal the rest of us that are not well yet, and that God, we can gather together as a community next week. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray and ask this of the Father. Amen. So, as I said, this is the first week of Advent, and so we're going to be looking for the next 4 weeks at different passages that relate to the Advent season. Advent is a time of being ready, preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. It's not the celebration of Christmas itself, but it's preparing our own hearts and our own minds for the coming of the Christmas celebration. Traditionally, the first week of Advent is about looking forward to the second coming of Christ. And so the title for this week's sermon is Watch and Be Ready. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. Just as the Jews of old were waiting for the Messiah to come and looking forward to his coming, we are, as Christians, looking forward to the return of Jesus. And the first week of Advent is a focus on this hope, that we are looking forward to the coming of Christ, and we live in that hope. You know, watching and being ready describes what my sisters and I used to do on Christmas Eve. When we were young, we used to try to stay up all night waiting for Santa Claus to come. And we never did succeed with that, but that was our goal. That was our hope. We would keep our eyes open for Santa. We would peek out the window where we were supposed to be asleep. We knew what the signs were for Santa. There was this red light on Christmas Eve that I would show to my youngest sister and tell her that was Rudolph's nose. And we just knew that was Rudolph's nose, even though that red light was always there day after day. And what we knew any other day was that was a radio tower. But on that night, we were looking for a sign, and we were We were waiting for Santa, and we were ready for him to come. And so we were watching and trying to be ready. And that relates to the text for today. So in Mark chapter 13, we want to look at the text together. It says, "But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. He holds one at the door to keep watch. Keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at night or dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him in. I say to you, I say everyone. So in this passage, one of the things that we see here is that we need to observe the signs. We need to observe the signs. Verse 24 tells us of some of these signs, and they're the ones that often we will focus on. It talks about the sun becoming dark, the moon not giving its light, the stars falling from the sky. And this is a common image that you find in many of the Old Testament prophets when they're talking about the day of the Lord, the day that God's judgment would come. And so what Jesus is doing is picking up on those familiar images. Now, some of us, when we read that, we want to take it literally, and perhaps it is a literal statement, but far more likely it is some kind of just symbolic statements about great change that is on the way and will come. I mean, if you think about some of the language we use, you'll see how it might have sounded to the ancient people. I mean, when we have decisive elections, not like the current election necessarily, but I'm thinking, for instance, in, I believe it was 1994, perhaps, when Newt Gingrich led the Republican Revolution that we talk about. There wasn't a war, but we call it the Republican Revolution. Sometimes when there's a decisive election like that, we'll talk about it being a tidal wave of change. And we're not talking about an actual tidal wave coming in. Or we might talk about some major event like the Great Recession that happened a decade ago. We'll talk about it as being a seismic shift or something that rocks your world. And when we say these things, we don't hear that and literally believe that those are things that are happening. We're just saying that it is a significant shift. And it's quite likely that that's what the passage is using, at least in the Old Testament. We have in Joel, for example, the statement about the sun becoming dark and the moon turning to blood. And in that passage, though, Peter references at Pentecost and says, this has happened in our day. And the last time I'm looking outside at the windows right now, and the sun's still shining. So it doesn't mean literally that that might happen for the prophecies to come true. But we do need to be looking at these signs because they will be significant and they will be noticeable. Verse 28 tells us of another sign. It says that you need to know that you know that it's summer whenever you see the fig leaf leafing out. When you see the fig tree and all the leaves coming out, you see most of the trees in Israel were evergreens. But the fig tree was one of those trees that you could look at and you could know that the seasons were changing. Jesus talks about the need to know the signs in Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. He says, Jesus said, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. So we're called by Jesus to interpret the signs. We need to be looking. We need to know the signs. We need to be observant, but we don't need to be preoccupied with signs. A lot of the signs that are in Mark 13 and other places, they're very difficult to interpret. They are part of the problem is that when Jesus talks about these signs, it's clear that some of the signs are about the destruction of the temple in the year 70 AD, something that was going to happen very soon. For example, Jesus says in this passage, this generation will not pass away. He's talking to the people and he's saying, some of you will not pass away before you see what I'm talking about. So clearly part of what he's saying and talking about is the destruction of the temple in the year 70 by the Romans. But there's other places that seem to be about the very end of time, about the return of Jesus. And the problem for us is that some of these signs go back and forth, and it's hard to know which ones are which. It's sort of like when you're in your car. In your car, there are signals that occur. For example, you have the dinging that sometimes will happen in your car. And you'll hear that dinging. And sometimes it's easy to know what it's dinging about. Like you may look and say, oh, I don't have my seatbelt on. And so you know that's what the issue is. Or you might hear the dinging of and realize that you've got your lights on. Those are sort of easy to know what's happening. But there are other times where it's not so easy to know what your car is trying to tell you. For instance, when the check engine light comes on, it is difficult to know what precisely is going on other than you need to go see a mechanic. So you have a sign, but sometimes the sign isn't fully clear. Jesus, in this passage, tells us that even he doesn't know when the end will be, that only the Father knows when the end will come. And so even Jesus says he doesn't know the time. So anybody that tells you they know for sure, based on the signs, when the end is coming, they're probably not correct. But we do need to be looking for these signs. We do need to be paying attention to them. For example, in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men saw a sign, and they knew from that sign that Messiah was to be born. And so they follow the sign, but they misunderstand the sign because they end up in Jerusalem. When they get to Jerusalem, though, the chief priest and the scribes are consulted by the king, and the chief priest and scribes know precisely that Messiah is supposed to be born in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem, but they don't see the signs. They don't understand that it was the time for the Messiah to be born. So the signs are difficult to see, but we need to be looking for them. We need to be watching for them. A second thing that we see in this passage is that we need to be keeping our eyes on the sun. We need to keep our eyes on the sun. In the passage, it talks about that we need to recognize the signs. We need to look for them, but more importantly, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. The verse 34, you have this parable that talks about that a man goes away and he assigns one of the servants to stand watch at the door. And so we need to be watching for the master's return. In the book of Hebrews, we have a passage that says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So in that passage, it talks about how it's important for us to fix our eyes on Jesus, to watch Jesus, to keep our eyes on the Son, for he is the pioneer of our faith. He is the one that is going before us. And so we can watch him and make sure we're on the right path. And he's the perfecter of our faith. If we want to know how we should live, we should keep our eyes on Jesus. And as we look at Jesus, we're told that he is now seated at the right hand of God. And so in verse 26, it talks about this idea. It says, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The reference there is in Daniel chapter 7. And in Daniel 7, the Son of Man coming on the clouds goes into the very presence of God, and he is seated there beside God at his right hand. And so we need to keep our eyes on the powerful one, the glorious one. And it talks about in verse 26 how God will send the angels. Verse 27 says, God will send the angels to gather the elect. This is another one of those signs, and yet it's another one of those unclear signs. It's not clear, is Jesus saying that the angels are going to go at the very end of time and gather all the saints together? Or in the New Testament, in Greek, the word that's translated here, angel, in other places, means messenger. And so is it saying that God's messengers are going to go out? Is this talking about the Great Commission? That we're going to be going out and gathering true Israel, all those that will believe in Jesus, and gathering them together. So is it something that's happening now, or is it something that will happen at the end? Or is it both? We don't know, but what we do know is we need to keep our eyes on the Son. We need to focus on Jesus, and that's what Advent is about. Advent is about preparing ourselves to receive Christ, preparing ourselves to be focused on who Jesus is and what God was doing in Jesus when he came the first time and when he comes again, and looking forward to that coming again. Advent is, and Christmas is not a time to be focused on parties, especially not during a pandemic. But it's not a time to be focused on Christmas parties. It's not a time to be focused on shopping. If you're focused primarily on that, you're missing the point of Advent. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. In the story of in Luke's gospel, we're told how Mary, when the shepherds show up, and what they say to her about the angels, it says Mary treasured these things, and she pondered them in her heart. She thought about Jesus, and she thought about who is this son of mine, based on what she heard. And that's what we need to be doing this Advent season. Our eyes need to be on Jesus. And as Hebrews talked about, it said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus came and he lived an humble life. He lived a life of suffering, a life of service to others. And that's what we need to make sure that we are doing. Our focus needs to be on serving Christ during this season, not on politics. There's a lot of political stuff going on the internet. It's not to be pushing our power on others, but it is to be focused on serving others and loving others. Our eyes need to be on Christ, but also our ears need to be upon his words. In verse 31 of the passage, we're told, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That is an audacious statement if Jesus was just a human being. Because heaven and earth had come about from the very word of God. In Genesis 1, we're told God spoke and creation came into existence. So Jesus, if he's not God, is saying, you know, you see all this stuff that God created with his words? It's passing away. But my words, they'll not pass away. But if he is the Son of God, if he is divine, then that makes sense. That he is bringing about the new creation, the creation that's going to endure beyond this current creation. And that's why Simon Peter, in John's gospel, says, when Jesus was talking to them and all the people had left Jesus, and Jesus looks at his disciples, he says, are you too going to leave me? Simon Peter answered Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so, here in John chapter 6, the emphasis is that Jesus is the Holy One. And so we need to keep our eyes on him and we need to keep our ears attentive to him. The final thing that we see in this passage is that we need to watch and be ready. We need to watch and be ready. In verse 34, the mini parable that you have, it says, it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to stand watch. So, in the parable, everybody has their assigned duty. They have the thing that they are supposed to be doing. Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we doing the duty? When it talks about them watching, not everybody, only the man standing at the door is actually physically watching. The rest of them, the word could be better translated as they need to be alert. They need to be on task, doing what they're supposed to be doing. In one place it talks about that we need to be alert and on guard. We need to be ready at any moment for the return of Christ. Fire stations are great things. Firemen are very important to our communities. We want to live near a fire station because our insurance rates go down, because the firemen, they're there to put out fires. They're there to help respond quickly to medical needs. All of us understand that part of their duties might be washing their truck, attending fire safety classes, eating meals together, fellowshipping, playing cards, doing other things together. We all expect that that's part of what they're going to do, but we don't expect them to do that if the fire alarm bell is going off, if a phone call comes in for a need. We don't expect them to say, well, but I'm in the middle of washing my truck. I've got to finish washing my truck. We don't expect them to say, but we just sat down to dinner. We'll be there in a few minutes. If they were to do that, we would think they were falling down on their job. But too often the church sometimes does that. We, the church, sometimes are so focused on fellowships, on enjoying one another's company, on Bible studies to learn more and more about Jesus, on building and making sure the church looks its best, the physical structure, that we don't do what God has called us to do. We have got to make sure that we are on alert, that we are on call. In Luke's gospel, we're told about Zechariah being chosen to go into the temple. And he's on duty. He's there in the temple. He's burning incense at the altar. He's doing his duty, but he was not prepared for an angel to suddenly appear before him. He was not ready for the startling news that he and his wife Elizabeth were about to have a child in their old age. That was something he wasn't ready for, and because of that, he ended up not speaking during the whole time of Elizabeth's pregnancy. On the other hand, we're told later in Luke's gospel that the shepherds were ready. The shepherds were out watching the sheep at night, doing their job, doing their called assignment. And then the angel appears to them, and a chorus of angels begin to worship God, and they say that the Messiah has been born. And when they hear that, they don't say, no, but I am watching my sheep. They instead run to find the Messiah that has been born. They run to go find Jesus, because that was the most important thing to do. Yes, they have been watching, but they were ready to respond to the angel's call. One of the things we're warned about in this passage, in verse 36, it says, if he suddenly comes, do not let him find you sleeping. We're warned not to be asleep. And so, this reminds me of a popular song by the Everly Brothers, Wake Up, Little Susie. In that song, the song's about how this young couple had gone to the drive-in movies and they were watching a movie and it was just kind of boring and they fell asleep. And hours later, they wake up and the whole song is about the fear that they have that people are going to think that something happened that didn't happen, and the fear that someone will talk about them in bad ways, because falling asleep had put them in a compromising position. Even though they didn't do anything wrong or evil, because they had fallen asleep, they were compromised. And so we're warned not to fall asleep. As a church, we're not to have our focus on the wrong things. We need to be awake and alert to what God is calling us to do. We need to make sure we're also not lazy. You may not have to actually fall asleep, but if you're just lazy, we got to be careful, because doing that will give a bad reputation to Christ, and it will give a bad reputation to the church. And so we're told in John's gospel, in chapter 9, we're told, as long as it is day, you must do the works of him. We must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And so we are called to work while it's day. We're called to be prepared and to go out into the world, anticipating the coming of Christ, but doing the work so that when he comes, we're not ashamed. So in this Advent season, We need to make sure we observe the signs. We need to make sure we keep our eyes on the sun. And we need to make sure that we watch and that we're ready. Let's pray together. Father, we want to come to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time of Advent when we can watch and be ready. Father, we just pray that you would help us to not fall asleep, to fall down on our duties. Help us to keep our eyes always on Jesus, the pioneer of our faith and the perfecter of our faith. Help us to live through the Spirit the way he did, trusting in his Father the way he did. Help us to look forward to his coming and to watch for the signs of his return. And Father, help us to be found faithful. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, just want to let you know that if you have made any kind of a decision today, that you can text that decision to 844-394-2748 and let us know what that decision is, and we will get in touch with you. I also want to let you know that tonight at 5 p.m., we're going to have the evening prayer meeting. You'll receive some Zoom information. You can find it right now if you go to the church website under Sunday evening prayer meeting. You can find that Zoom information. I'll also send it out later today. And we're going to start a four-week Advent video Bible study this evening in addition to the prayer time. And so I want you to invite you to join us. It's the video series is led by J.D. Greer, who was a past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and it's going to be a good study. So I want you to join us for that. And I want you to have a great week. See you at 5 o'clock tonight. God bless you.